Drive Time on RTÉ Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When investment performance matters, make sure your savings are with Zurich. Visit Zurich.ie to find out more.
Thank you very much indeed for that, Jan. Now, families seeking international protection are to be housed in J.J. Gannon's Hotel in Ballinrobe in County Mayo, the Department for Integration has confirmed. Protests had been held at the site, which was earmarked to house up to 50 adult male international protection applicants since Friday. To discuss this and also food inflation and price wars is the Minister for Agriculture, Food and the Marine, Charlie McConlogue. Minister, you're very welcome to the programme. I hope the Minister is there. Can you hear me, Minister?
Yeah, good evening, Cormac.
Okay, good to hear you. Yeah, you're very welcome to the programme. We had confirmation on the news at 1, and I'm sure you can confirm that initially it was supposed to be 50 adult male international protection applicants in J.J. Egan's, but now it's going to be families. You can confirm that, and can you explain to me why that is the case now?
Yeah, I can confirm that. The Department of Integration has informed me that given current constraints in accommodation, Cormac, they're in a situation where we need to prioritise, and in this instance that means changing the configuration for the Ballinrobe accommodation to now house families and children. And obviously it's challenging in general. The country has stepped up exceptionally well, and Irish people have extended a welcome and shown their kindness in terms of the massively difficult situation people, particularly from Ukraine, have had to face in the context of the Russian invasion and the tremendous destruction in that country. And over the last, since February 2022, since that invasion, we've seen just under 75,000 Ukrainian people
The Ballinrobe situation, it was initially designated for 50 adult males, isn't that correct?
That's correct. And my understanding is that
when was the redesignation?
I believe in the last couple of days, I believe that was confirmed this afternoon.
Was it as a result of the protests then?
No. I believe that there has been a number of redesignations recently given capacity constraints, and particularly in relation to the need and the prioritisation needed for families and children, and particular challenges there, and that a number of, have been redesignated as a result of that.
Can I ask then, will the 50 adult males that were due to be placed in Ballinrobe, where will they go now? Because we know that over 400 or so international protection applicants are homeless. So will they just be added to the homeless list of people?
No, listen, the situation obviously is challenging in terms of capacity. As you say there, we have about 457 at the moment that remain without accommodation from the International Protection Services. So on a weekly and daily basis, both in relation to the capacity to provide a home and accommodation and safety for those coming from Ukraine, as well as those who are seeking international protection, the department continues to work to source potential accommodation places. But that has become more difficult over the course of the last number of months in particular.
There is no place, can you confirm, designated at the moment for the 50 people who were to go to J.J. Egan's. Is that correct?
Yeah, those 50, as far as I'm aware, are part of the 457 at the moment, which we don't have accommodation for, and which the department are working to try and provide accommodation for. And
so how is the government going to fulfil your international obligations and house adult males who are international applicants if this is the way it's going to be?
Well, it reflects the general challenge we have, Cormac, because whenever you're in a situation from February of last year when we've housed almost 100,000 people, it uses up a lot of the capacity that is there in the system, and it has become increasingly difficult, and it has become increasingly challenging for the department and the staff that are working this to source additional places. So it's something we continue to work on. It's something we continue to manage as best we possibly can. But there's no doubt, the fact that we have 457 at the moment who remain without accommodation is a real challenge.
And can I ask you this?
And also then dealing with the situation where we have to provide safe accommodation, appropriate accommodation as well for families and women and children.
Can I ask you this? What criteria did the government use to figure out that the people now going to Ballinrobe are more deserving of accommodation, more deserving to be prioritised than the 50 people initially going?
Well, I think that the government prioritises everyone and very much recognises our duty of care to everyone here. And that's our objective and has been our objective
throughout.
That's not
the case
here. I think it's something that the public have been very supportive of as well.
But can I stop you there? Because that's quite clearly not the case. So there were 50 people designated to go to J.J. Egan's, and now there was some process used to redesignate the people going to J.J. Egan's. I just want to find out what that process was.
Well, it is the case in the sense that we have 100,000 people. If you've been speaking to me in February of last year, Cormac, and asked, I mean, what type of a challenge would it present in terms of providing safe accommodation for 100,000 people over the course of the from then until now, we would have found it, you would have been very surprised at the national effort that is going in, and indeed the welcome that's been provided around the country to ensure that the safe accommodation has been provided to everyone. That has got more and more difficult. Obviously, the Department of Integration, then in relation to both providing accommodation for families as well as accommodation for single people, are doing their very best to provide appropriate accommodation for that.
Yeah, you have a problem though, don't you? Because outside of the J.J. Gannon's, I called it the wrong name there, but the J.J. Gannon's Hotel in Ballinrobe, the protesters there, they believe that their protest was what changed the decision by the Department of Integration and the government not to house 50 males. And your colleague in Fianna Fáil, a local councillor there, said he welcomed the change, and there now needs to be a change from within government to communicate better with communities. And he also said that the West has borne a higher burden in terms of accommodating refugees. So is he right?
Well, I think it's important to recognise that in Ballinrobe there will be accommodation provided for families and very much needed accommodation because there is a real challenge there. But likewise, we're seeing accommodation provided in many parts of the country for those in the protection system and service as well. But we do have 457 that remain without accommodation at the moment. That's a reflection of the challenging situation we have in relation to capacity. People have been welcoming right throughout this country in terms of recognising the very challenging position that so many people find themselves in and providing a home. And the government continued to work within the constraints that we have available to us,
and
to do our best to actually ensure
we appreciate
continue
that. And is what the Taoiseach said, that no one in Ireland has a right to veto who lives in their community. Does that still stand? Because if you say yes, given what's happened in Ballinrobe, it might sound to some a little bit hollow.
Yeah, no, it does still stand. No one has the right to veto who lives in an area. And that's something that the government are very clear on. And in relation to community engagement, there are community engagement teams established then to work with local communities in terms of providing advance notification of people to be accommodated in an area. But obviously, you know, over the last 18 months or so, we've been working in strained situations whereby there's been a significant demand and increasingly capacity has been constrained.
Okay.
So that does present us challenges. But listen, we work in the best way we can, as indeed do local communities across the country, to provide a welcome and to provide safe home and safe accommodation to people who very much need it.
Okay, so you say it wasn't as a result of the protest. Can I move on for a minute? Because I might go back to comments you made last week, which were quite controversial for some, you called on restaurants and cafes and hotels to slash the size of food portions, and that's been slammed as extremely unhelpful by restaurant owners. Now, I might play you a small clip. A restaurant owner, Anthony Gray from Sligo, he joined us in the programme and he reacted to your comments. Have a listen to what he had to say.
Any successful restaurant in this country is, by God, they're watching their waste and they're watching their portion sizes coming in and out the door. And with a minister coming out, the hospitality industry is in decline. It's in free fall. We're getting hit constantly by this government, and it's about time that they came out and stood up and realised that there is a major problem with the tourism economy in this country and hospitality, and there is going to be massive job losses. Never mind coming out with sensational headlines that there's too much on his plate. If that's the case, well, then he needs to go into a proper restaurant and eat proper food.
What do you say to Anthony Gray in the hospitality sector?
Well, I think they're two separate issues. First of all, I don't see anything controversial in what I said. As Minister for Food, as well as Minister for Agriculture and Marine, I believe it's really important that we all work to address the significant food waste we have. That's across all levels of the food chain, including in the food service, but particularly in the homes as well. And in terms of my comments, and indeed my work at all times on this, I want to see progress made where we reduce food waste at all levels. It's my experience, it's mixed in relation to food service and in terms of restaurants. Sometimes you may be asking for more and there mightn't be enough on the plate, but certainly in many cases there can be more in a plate as well.
Did you ever say that food portion is too much?
I have, absolutely, yes.
In restaurants and cafes?
I've also asked for more at times as well.
And did you pay for seconds? Because that's what you propose, isn't it?
No, it's not. What I've said is that instead of putting more on a plate in cases where plates are too large, that seconds should be offered. And indeed,
free.
You'd have less food waste. Well, I mean, it sure doesn't make sense to give it a seconds, Cormac, rather than put it in the plate in the first time.
You want restaurants
to give...
Hang on a second, I didn't realise everyone
better off.
This is incredible. As Minister for Agriculture and the Food and the Marine, this is incredible. I didn't understand that now. So you want restaurants to give smaller portions, but then you want them to give seconds for free?
No, Cormac. No? What I'm saying is that each and every one of us, whether we're in food service or really importantly, whether we're in our own home, we have to have cognizance and be aware of the fact that 30% of all of the food that's produced is wasted. And we all, in every aspect of the food chain, have to work to see what we can do to eliminate that.
Mm-hmm.
And the simple point I made, which is purely common sense in my view, is that if rather than put too much in a plate, it would make sense to go and do seconds. But many restaurants restaurants put less in a plate.
Yeah, I know.
Some restaurants put too much in a plate.
I know,
but
this seems churlish.
Likewise, as
hang
in
on.
The home and across
Hold
the
on.
Supply chain,
I know
we've
this
a lot
seems
to do in this.
Churlish, Minister, but I'm going to ask you for clarification because you really annoyed people in the hospitality sector, because they felt that, and one of them said you didn't have a clue about running a small business, be that correct or not, but they said that you wanted them to cut the portion size and then charge again for seconds. Is that what you meant, or did you mean give seconds for free?
No, I never suggested that there should be a charge for seconds.
Oh.
I made the simple point that what makes sense, Cormac, is that we be very conscious both in the food service trade as well as at home and as well as at every level of the food supply chain.
Okay.
That we take steps to make sure that we're not wasting food.
Okay.
And that would make more sense rather than putting too much in a plate to offer seconds afterwards.
All right. Well, thanks for clarifying that. I'd love to know what people...
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, okay.
And I very much welcome the debate we've seen the last mm-hmm. 2 or 3 days in relation to food service, because it's by discussing, or in relation to food waste, because it's by discussing this that we can bring attention to the fact that 30% of the food that our farmers, our fishers, and our food companies produce,
mm-hmm.
That 30% of that actually gets put in the bin.
Okay.
And a lot of that happens in the household.
It is a huge issue.
Each household on average loses about €700 worth to their pocket, but mm-hmm. even more significantly sees food go into the bin.
Okay, and it's a huge issue without question.
But I think the debate we've seen the last number of days has been helpful in relation to drawing attention to that.
For sure, and I'm glad you've clarified those remarks as well, because maybe people got the wrong end of the stick, but I'd love to know what people think to 51551 about a minister calling for smaller portions and then free seconds in restaurants and cafes.
Appropriate portions, whenever we're eating and whenever we're dining, and in our home in particular, because that's where most food waste occurs, that we're all conscious to this, and by doing so we can see some of the 30% of food that is wasted,
and you've made that
at the moment
point.
Actually go to a good purpose, and the purpose it was meant for instead.
Mm, which is a fair point as well. Can I ask you this, though? The other end of the chain, or the start of the chain, the IFA, we spoke with them last week as well, and they spoke about retail wars. At the cost of the farmer in major retailers, cutting the price of food produce on shelves. And they say, you cannot, they say, have supermarkets exceeding or benefiting at the expense of farmers and producers. And they actually called for a ban on discount selling of food produce. Is that something you'd countenance?
Well, we did have below cost selling in legislation in this country before, up until the early noughties. And it was done away with at that stage because it was found to actually only add more cost, both to businesses, but particularly to consumers. But I think what's important here is that we actually have a respect for the cost that goes into actually producing food, and that is reflected then in relation to making sure that those who produce it are properly rewarded for that. It's something I put a particular focus on, Cormac. I've established a new Food Regulator Office, which has been established this year, with the objective of making sure that we have a fair and transparent food supply chain, because it's really important that the primary producers actually are respected in this process. And it's really important in relation to the practices we see from supermarkets, that and how they go about selling that food is respected as well. Mm-hmm. What we want to see is consumers get fair, get good value in relation to what they're buying, but we also want to see them get local food and local supply chains. And in that respect, it's really important that the primary producer is respected in the process, because otherwise they won't be there to produce that food into the future.
Come here to me. You've got people going two plate sizes at two prices, is one texter. Another, I couldn't agree with the minister more. One more from Mike in Galway says, put uneaten food in a doggy bag, and that's a problem solved, says Mike. Can I ask you one more question before I let you go, Minister Charlie McConnell Logue? Would you like to be the Fianna Fáil nominee for the EU Commissioner job?
Well, listen, I have more than enough on my plate, as you can see, Cormac, in relation to running the Department of Agriculture, Food and the Marine. It's a job I massively enjoy. Indeed, that has a significant aspect in relation to European involvement as well. But listen, that's something that the government will come to make a decision on in the summer, post the European elections.
And you won't be putting your head your hat in the
I will leave the decision making around that to others.
Okay, look, we'll leave it there for the moment. Minister for Agriculture, Food and the Marine, Charlie McConnell Logue, thank you very much indeed.